Hi, I'm Beth Wyatt, and thank you so much for having me here today. Hannah turned me on to a clicker, so we'll see how that works. I have no relationships to disclose, other than I am not a clinician, so I have no expertise in that area. I'm purely public health. So today, I just want to talk about some policy initiatives that are happening throughout the state of Colorado that are supporting some of our regional oral health specialists, and then three initiatives, kind of new delivery care models that Colorado is implementing. So this is lovely Colorado in a box with 64 counties throughout the state. On the right is the Eastern Plains. Very geographically isolated. The arrow represents the Front Range and the urban corridor, working your way to the gateway of the Rocky Mountains, where tons of 14,000 footers are and everybody loves to play, and then working your way out to the western slope where you can get delicious peaches and wine. What's interesting about this map is that of the 64 counties, 17 of those are urban counties, and the rest are rural or frontier counties. And even more interesting is that 86% of the population lives within those 17 counties, which is essentially along the Front Range. And the remainder of the population is in rural frontier areas. Of the 64 counties, 15 of those are either without a dentist or dentist that doesn't accept Medicaid. So there's huge geographical issues and access to care issues within the state. There's approximately 3,000 practicing dentists within Colorado, and only about 17% of those accept Medicaid. So that's just under 900 dentists accepting Medicaid patients. So that is another issue. And then with Medicaid expansion, there's about 1 million Colorado residents that are on Medicaid. So this is a huge problem, access to care, especially with the adult population. Colorado also has a pretty high Hispanic population, which is also expected to double within the next 15 years. We also have a large 65-plus population, which is around 680,000, and that's expected to double in the next 15 years to around 1.4 million older adults. So that's another area that we need to address. So talking about policy initiatives, Medicaid is run through the Department of Healthcare Policy and Financing, otherwise known as HCPF. HCPF traditionally has not supported, and I know this occurs in other states, but has not supported Medicaid dental services and preventive services. So Medicaid costs have been through the roof. Emergency room visits within the state have been a huge problem. But in 2013, the Colorado legislature expanded Medicaid services to include a little bit higher socioeconomic group as well as childless adults. And then in 2014, the legislature expanded Medicaid services or Medicaid dental services, which has, you know, had a huge effect within the state with access to care and a $1,000 limit within the state fiscal year. So that's helped tremendously. Other policy initiatives that have occurred, there's been across the board Medicaid reimbursement rates throughout the state and a little bit more for dental providers, as well as targeted rate increases for full mouth x-rays, and that's gone up about $35 increase in reimbursement, and then for sealants as well, that's gone up about $9 per sealant. So that's an extra incentive, and I think a healthy incentive for more Medicaid providers. As well, there's been with medical providers or primary care providers conducting an oral health assessment, and fluoride varnish was initially through the age of 4, is now up to the age of 20 for that billing and reimbursement, which is great. And then the Colorado legislature this year passed a bill supporting interim therapeutic restoration. So the ITR, which will support our virtual dental home model, which I'll talk about in a minute. The Colorado legislature also supported a $1.6 million increase for loan repayment. That will primarily go to primary care providers, but some of that funding will go towards dental providers going into rural areas and accepting more Medicaid patients, so that's great. Another thing that has happened with the Colorado Dental Association, they started a Take Five campaign to incentivize dental providers, that being hygienists and dentists, to see five Medicaid patients two times in the year, and then you'll get a $1,000 bonus. So that will be implemented. It's just starting to get implemented. They started it last year, but I think there were some complications with the federal government, and they had to get involved, and now we're okay to go with this. So none of this legislative work would have happened without our statewide coalition, Oral Health Colorado. Oral Health Colorado is comprised of 2.5 people, and they've had a huge impact throughout the state with community water fluoridation issues, education, advocacy, health equity, and a toolkit called Smart Mouth, Smart Kids that I'll talk about in just a minute. So all of this work, this legislative work, and Oral Health Colorado helps support the regional oral health specialists that the state health department funds, and we call these our ROHS. And we have four ROHS throughout the states, and so we contract with four local public health agencies who then have sourced a registered dental hygienist to come in and be not only a clinician, but our public health official within the state. So up on the right in Northeast Colorado is one of our ROHS who works with the Northeast Health Department. They service 9 counties. A lot of disparity, a lot of need, so we've had good success with our ROHS there. In Chaffee County in the middle, it's called the Banana Belt there, and to the west is the Collegiate Peaks, and there's about, 10-ish, 14,000 foot peaks, and just to the east of that is very arid and dry land, as well as a lot of low socioeconomic community members, and access to care is also a huge problem. The other two stars that you see further to the west, you will probably know those areas by Aspen, Colorado, Snowmass, Durango, great skiing, super fun, but also there's a lot of health disparities and access to care, especially down in the southwest where there's several Indian populations and reservations down there. So it's an interesting mix of where we have these regional oral health specialists. And they do a tremendous amount of work. Even though you see the four stars, they actually service about 20 counties throughout the state, focusing on coalition development, education, and doing direct services with Sealant programs. So with coalition development, OCO, our statewide coalition, has done a lot of work to support them, and we've seen different formats work. The Aspen to Parachute Dental Health Alliance is an independent coalition, dental health coalition, that has been very successful with community water fluoridation issues and education. And then in other areas, the Oral Health Coalition has not taken off and then had to integrate within another health coalition that are also focusing on significant issues within their area. Community water fluoridation, it's hard to tell. I don't know what's going on in other states, but in Colorado, it's definitely a hot issue, and I don't know if you heard about Denver, Colorado. The water board wanted to hear from the pro side and the anti side if they should continue community water fluoridation, and the city decided to look into the science and the benefits and continued water fluoridation. I mentioned Snowmass, Colorado earlier. The water board in July decided to stop community water fluoridation. Huge outcry. They did a survey with water residents, and survey came back with 3/4 saying, I want water fluoridation. 1/4 said no, so the water board on October 21st decided to reinstate community water fluoridation. This was the work of the Aspen to Parachute Dental Health Alliance that went out there and educated. We also have issues right now in several other cities. One of those is Durango, where they're considering eliminating fluoridation. So our regional oral health specialists are critical with this hot topic area that focuses on health equity. Oral health education, another huge component for the regional oral health specialists with Sealant programs throughout their designated counties. as well as community water fluoridation. Let's see what else. They also reach out to the older adult population going into nursing homes and other areas to educate the older population. And Cavity Free at 3 program, which I will talk about in just a minute. School link sealant programs. The regional oral health specialists are critical in this area. And we've just, in collaboration with the State Health Department, Oral Health Colorado, and Delta Dental, and I think DentaQuest, have come together to create the Smart Mouth, Smart Kids Toolkit, which has 3 really cool things on it, and I recommend you to go to the website. But there is a data collection tool for an independent hygienist to go into a school and use a tablet and be able to enter data into kind of a mini electronic dental record. So that's being implemented this fall. As well, there's a feasibility or sustainability calculator. And this allows an independent hygienist to kind of crunch the numbers in an easy way, like how many kids do I need to see, how many schools should I be going to, and how can I make a profit off of, you know, providing oral health services. Should it just be sealants, or can I do varnish? So it's a really cool tool, and then we also have vetted consent forms as well. So again, that's being rolled out this fall and will definitely help the regional oral health specialists. So I want to talk about 3 delivery care models that Colorado has been working extensively on. The first one is the Cavity Free at 3 model, which is focusing on educating primary care providers in their well child visits to do risk assessments, oral health screenings, and fluoride varnish, as well as educating the mother on the importance of getting their child to a dental home by age 1. So this has been a huge program. The regional oral health specialists have, in the last year and a half, conducted about 24 trainings to 150 providers, that being medical, dental, assistants. And so when they go back into their communities, they're practicing this program that also has far greater reach. So we've had great success with this. The other program is our Smiles Dental Home Project, and we've been working a lot with Dr. Paul Glassman. This is Colorado's version of the virtual dental home. So this is being funded by 2 large foundations within the state. And they selected 6 sites to implement this program, which is in process right now. I don't have any significant data to report back to you. But this will allow the dental hygienist to use the ITR, the interim therapeutic restoration, so those temporary fillings, and working with a dental home, getting out and supporting community members and increasing oral health. So we're really excited to see where this is going to be going. And then the Colorado Medical Dental Integration Project. This is funded by Delta Dental Colorado, and we have funded 16 sites throughout Colorado. And this is integrating a registered dental hygienist into a primary care setting, where the hygienist will either go into the exam room and provide screenings and assessments and fluoride varnish, or they'll have their own oral health room where they can go into and take the patient there. Since August of this year, there's been about, they've provided oral health services to about 1,300 adults and children, throughout the state. So this program seems to be working really well, and looking forward to getting more data. So in summary of what I've just talked about is, here's where we are in Colorado with the regional oral health specialists, with the teledentistry, as well as medical dental integration. So we've got some great overlap in some areas, but we're missing some areas as well, so we need to continue focusing on that. And so what's happening next is, we received another 3-year funding cycle from HRSA, which funded our ROSE from 2012 to 2015. We got another 3-year funding cycle for up to 2018. So that will expand the baseline work that the regional oral health specialists have done. We'll also be focusing more on safety net clinics and federally qualified health centers to provide more medical dental integration. And also doing a lot of work right now with the School of Dental Medicine to increase cultural competency and making sure that providers are going back into communities where there's most need and you know, we're looking at this next legislative session to increase dental benefits for CHIP plus pregnant women. And we have an advisory committee with the Smiles Dental Home Project that is working on curriculum and training for the ITR. So even though we have approval for the bill, it's going to be maybe another couple years before we actually have hygienists practicing that ITR. And then Smart Mouth, Smart Kids, a couple of my colleagues presented at the National Oral Health Conference in April, and we had great success on the website and toolkit. And so Washington State has expressed interest on maybe how they can tweak the feasibility calculator to have their reimbursement numbers in there. So we're excited to see if this can go a lot further. And that is it. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. Actually, we have time for a couple questions. Yes. If you could please use the microphone.
Hi, Beth. I had two questions, a pretty easy one and a little more complicated one. On the Plus 5 program, when you mentioned that there was a $1,000 bonus that was paid, is that paid by the Dental Association or by the Medicaid program?
I should know the answer to that. I think it's through the Dental Association.